a cow. By the way, the cows in India are very thin. They're not big, husky beasts. But cows will cross the street, main thoroughfare of Calcutta, and being cows, they do not think. So you'll cross the street halfway, look around, all the traffic stops. A Hindu would no more think running into a cow would say running into, for us, a human being, because among the reincarnations, depending on our behavior in this life, in this existence, we don't behave as well as we should according to our caste, we might become an animal. And a cow, that would be a high level of reincarnation. Cows are sacred. So they won't be delivered from that endless wheel of existence. And how many times I've told the missionaries of charity that missionaries, as you probably know, once India in 1950 was freed from British domination, then missionaries were forbidden in India. The only evangelization, to call it such, had to be domestic, from within. Which is one reason I know why the present Mother General of the Missionaries of Charity is a native of India. In bhakti, loving devotion to the Lord. That's only among theistic Hindus. And here we could talk, I repeat, for hours, the variety, what a chi word, the multitude of forms of Hinduism beyond counting. And of course, there are some Hindus, thank God, that are monotheistic. And that, by the way, is the main reason why the Muslims have been so successful in what used to be called the Indian subcontinent. Why countries like, Pakistan came into existence, or Bangladesh. Remember, I think we said this, we'll see more when we touch Islam. Muhammad, in the early 7th century, thought he was divinely commissioned to, make monotheists out of his fellow Arabs. And then, being who he was, I don't have anything to weigh with a sword. Millions of once polytheistic Hindus are now very monotheistic Muslims. Am I clear? And because in Hinduism, strictly speaking Hinduism, there are many gods. Bhakti, loving devotion to the Lord. And of course it has to be in theistic Hinduism, and what is a minority, monotheistic Hinduism. In Bhagavad, Lord. And the Bhagavad Gita. Call it the hymn of the Lord. The most important sacred book and every literate Hindu, and in some cases, knows by heart. Such is the Gita, what I mentioned earlier, sections of the Gita have been borrowed from Christianity. The Bhagavad Gita was not completed until about the middle of the 2nd century of the Christian era. And by that time, St. Thomas the Apostle already penetrated India, and there are sections of the Gita, as they call it, that are borrowed from Christianity. But they want to believe in just one Lord. And this is where the Christian influence in India has been gigantic. In other words, Simon Pure, to give it that name, Hinduism, does not exist. Pre-Christian Hinduism has been deeply, profoundly Christianized. And that is one of the great achievements of Mother Teresa, having so deeply Christianized millions of still professed Hindus. Deva, a name for God, personified Brahman, must be extracted from the Hindu scriptures. In here, the last two words that I have, Deva and Atman, or Brahman and Atman, are crucial. Among the Hindus, as you would expect, there are many who are very learned, academically sophisticated, and sadly, how sadly, these intellectual Hindus have penetrated the Western world. You read almost any book in comparative religion, or say on Hinduism, published in the English or at least Western-speaking world, you don't find what most Hindus really are. Most Hindus are not what this learned Hinduism might leave with the impression that they are. Now, first, very briefly, what is called academic Hinduism. Atman is another word for the self. And in contrast between the pantheistic and the theistic understanding of Hinduism, and it is pantheistic Hinduism that has deeply penetrated the Western world. Hope you hear this again from someone. And I thought I'd bring with me at least, well, a sample. Well, here, yes. Thomas Keating, The Contemplative Dimension of the Gospel. Is Thomas Keating a Cistercian priest, monk, and abbot? Founder of the Centering Prayer Movement. All on, well, Centering Prayer. Borrowed. Keating, sadly, I hope, did not really know what he was talking about when he wrote, among others, this book. In pantheistic Hinduism, the self is the only God who exists. And then when you engage, shall we say, in centering prayer, you concentrate on the center of your being. And that center of your being is, well, what else? It is Atman, who is identified then with Brahman. And Brahman, translated most English texts, as God. And pantheistic Hinduism is another name for the New Age movement. Do you still hear me? I have a catalog of New Age books in print, several thousand in the United States. Hinduism has deeply, what verb shall I use, penetrated Western culture, including our own American society. That was the tragedy of Thomas Merton, about whom I think I've spoken at least briefly on some occasion. Poor man never really knew his own faith well enough. He was seduced by Hindu, as he thought, mysticism. And that is why, except with Thomas Merton, there would not be a New Age movement in the Western world. So, among the Hindus, a minority are pantheists, but powerful, most influential, and now have affected, shall I use the verb, infected, much of the Western world. And most Hindus, thank God, are not pantheistic, but all they need Christianity. With apologies, but I thought, do I have some questions? In the Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible by Ignatius, a good book to help us better understand Sacred Scripture. Well, I wish I could say yes. Now, being taped, Father Fitzgerald, my gosh, somebody might even call him up in California. Guess what Father Hardin said? I'm sorry. The RSV Bible, published by Ignatius Press. I wish I could recommend it. Oh. Isaiah 7:14. Remember the prophecy? The church's rendition is, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. The Revised Standard Version says, a young woman shall conceive. What are you talking about? The Jews changed it in the year 90 A.D. The Greek Parthenos, which means virgin, to a young woman. So, thanks. What do you say to a priest who says, Kathy, you believe in reincarnation, but not in the same sense as Hindus? Well, when people say strange things, in my charity, I try to find out where their mind comes from. People can say some very strange things. They don't know what they're talking about. So, not in the same sense as Hindus. Well, that's an understatement. Of course, our souls will be reunited with their bodies. We don't call it reincarnation. The moment you use the word reincarnation, immediately you think of Hinduism. Is it okay to petition the prayers of our deceased relatives? Oh, sure. By all means, pray to your relatives. And by the way, even if they're in purgatory, they can help us. What are the other levels of revelation? Other levels of revelation besides, well, I'm not quite sure what the question means, but let me guess. I said that public revelation closed with the death of St. John the Evangelist. Now, over the centuries, the Church has approved quote-unquote revelations. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. They are called, for want of a better term, private revelations. But they must be approved by the Church. And these called private revelations never add anything one iota. Never add anything to public revelation. But let's remember, we are Roman Catholics. We're not Presbyterians. For us, God's public revelation comes in two very distinct forms, sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Question, what is your opinion about the movie, The Black Robe? Our Jesuits consulted when movies were made, which have as one of the main characters a Jesuit priest. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what the movie is about. In my next class, somebody would let me know. Very happy to answer the question. Why is the profession of faith not said at all masses? Well, the profession of faith as a credo is to be said in those masses which are considered especially solemn. Now, Sunday Masses, the creed, the act of faith, should be always said, even remembered during Lent, when the glory is omitted. So I would say, not said at all Masses, because over the centuries, certain parts of the Mass, never, of course, the double consecration, were omitted. It is past tradition. The translation of Presbyterian Rorum, Elder, why do Presbyterians take the name as Presbyterian Goddesses? Oh, guess. Because they want to be considered Episcopalians. As I think I've told you, over 4,000 forms of Protestantism. Not just churches, forms. Among the two main forms of Protestantism are the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians. The Presbyterians owe their origin to John Calvin. Not several churches I've noticed in Detroit. Calvinist this and Calvinist that. Those are the Presbyterians. And why? Because, and remember, the Episcopalians were started by whom? Who founded the Episcopalians? Henry VIII. On my way back from Calcutta, I stopped in London and had dinner with, well, the sister of my partner, a Chinese, Frank Lum, and, well, and her husband. Her husband is an Episcopalian. So I thought I'd just ask him, what religion do you profess? I'm Episcopalian. Then I asked, you know who founded Episcopalianism? Oh, sure. It's Henry VIII. Isn't that neat? Well, you know why? Because all the bishops, called, remember in Greek, episkopoi, all the bishops except one favored Henry VIII's, discarding his lawful wife, Catherine, and marrying his mistress, Anne Boleyn. So I smiled. I said, you're right, Henry VIII. They call it Episcopalian. That's the right religion. It means bishopism. And then I tell people, Catholics, to pray. Pray for bishops. They might be faithful to the Bishop of Rome. So, in other words, the Episcopalians believe that their bishops are bishops. And they even claim that they trace their ancestry to the apostles. Well, poor dears, they're wrong. But the Calvinists, and there are many brands of Calvinism. One popular brand is Presbyterianism. They don't believe in bishops. In other words, each presbyter is the head of the church. They do not have, as the Episcopalians have, episcopal authority. Near the architects of Hinduism used drugs to reach the ultimate state of perfect consciousness. Well, some did. Yes. And this is where, again, I could speak of a whole course on drugs. Having finished my doctoral studies in biochemistry, I know a lot about drugs, widely used in the Orient. Pardon me, and now increasingly used in the West. Are the new guidelines that a permanent deacon can remarry, I presume the questioner implies that, say, his wife dies. Well, yes, they can remarry, but the price is to no longer practice the diaconate. How did God reveal himself to the primitive people 6,000, 10,000 years ago? Well, God revealed himself already to our first parents. Remember? Name one person who lived before Abraham.
Adam.
Please?
Adam.
Who?
Adam. And
of course. Pardon me. One more.
Noah.
In other words, there were great, what do we call them? We call them usually patriarchs. For centuries before the Jewish people became the chosen people of Israel. And God did reveal himself to chosen persons before he formed the chosen people. Do you feel Father Gobi's messages from Blessed Mother are authentic? Oh, have you heard? But Father Gobi, what did you hear?
Did he get his last message, or is it over?
Yes. No more messages. Thank God. Father Kobe is obedient to the Holy Father. Pardon me, it's about time. No more messages. Father Harden, have you ever converted any of your Protestant or Islamic students? Well, of course, I was accused of converting them. Yes. But, of course, as a Jesuit, I have to be shrewd in doing this. So, is the Novus Ordo Mass of Pope Paul VI as valid as holy as the Tridentine Mass of the last 2,000 years? Well, there was no Tridentine Mass of 2,000 years. The Tridentine, as you know, the adjective for the word Trent, the name of the city where the Council of Trent was held, the adjective, the Latin adjectives, Tridentine. So the Tridentine Mass goes back to the Council of Trent, which opened the year that Martin Luther died, 1546, and closed in 1563. And the Novus Ordo. Hope you've heard this before. The Novus Ordo precedes, antedates the Council of Trent. Believe me, I'm not defending the even blasphemous gymnastics in which some people following the Novus Ordo resort to. But the Novus Ordo, content-wise, is older, centuries older than the Tridentine Mass. Now, the offertory prayers of the Novus Ordo, go back, hear it. Go back to the year 90 A.D. The offertory prayer is said in the first century of the Christian era. Well, of course, we could give on the liturgy. But sadly, so many people, as you know, have abused, misused, not just the Novus Ordo, but the Second Vatican Council. Is this confusion today still part of apostasy, which our dear Lord spoke of regarding the last days? Well, I repeat, it is not because of the Novus Ordo that we're in such widespread confusion. It's because so many professed Catholics have abandoned their faith. At least the 16th century Protestants were honest enough to leave the Catholic Church and form their own churches, which I'm going to say to their credit. In most parishes, Eucharist ministers are used, lay people. At the end of Holy Communion, the chalice is not rinsed with water, emptied by the priest, or wiped, and the other cups are consumed by the Eucharistic ministers. Whatever was left, the cups are then covered and put to the side. Please comment. It's absolutely wrong. And here again, first of all, let's make sure by the 15th of February, can I ask all of you to find a copy of and read what the Holy See has published on the confusion between the laity and the clergy or the priesthood. Is that a copy? Instruction on certain questions regarding the collaboration of the non-ordained faithful in the sacred ministry of priests. Date, August the 13th, 1997. It's 52 pages in length. As one American bishop declared when he saw the document from Rome, this wipes out all we've been trying to do for so many years. And my answer is, thank God. In a previous talk, you stated that medical schools use two different sets of books. I'm quoting my medical doctor friends. For those 60, 65, and those over, a professor at Raines Medical School has said that is not the case at Wayne. Will you please give the names of the medical schools that do have this program? Well, is there any medical doctor here? Well, I'll do my homework, and one of you, some of you do yours. Or I can call up my, oh, by the way, this medical doctor who told me this is an old Catholic priest. He lives in New Jersey. I'll call him up and ask him. By 15th of February, he'll have an answer. What about masses of healing? They are common in our suburban parishes, where the priest lays his hands on people to heal them. Please comment. I don't claim to know everything that should be known. To the best of my knowledge, this has never been approved by the church. Could give us some information on Austin Flannery. Austin Flannery, as you know, is the translator of the good translation of Vatican II. Austin Flannery is a Dominican. Austin Flannery also published a collection of all the documents of all the bishops throughout the world when they met in solemn session to pass judgment on Humanae Vitae. It's a thick book. In other words, in some countries, the bishops voted in favor of Pope Paul VI's document, Humanae Vitae. In some countries, they voted against Pope Paul VI. And among the bishops that voted against Pope Paul VI were the American hierarchy.
Title of the book. Title of the book.
I have to look it up in my file. I'm not sure it's in the book. But it's published was published in London. I have, here's a last copy of the book. Most revealing. And among the statements of bishops strongly supporting Paul VI was of the Polish hierarchy, led, guess by whom? Wojtyła. What should a priest require of a couple who want to get married but are living together? I assume before they're married. Well, first of all, stop living together. And over the years, I have not had too many weddings which I've officiated. Sometimes parish priests, they laugh when I tell them how many weddings I've assisted at. Most priests will have as many weddings in 1 year as I've had in 50 years. But shall priests require, first of all, stop living together. But secondly, and this in teaching priests, I tell them, for a couple of them are living together before they, quotes, marry. And to seriously ask themselves, both the man and the woman, should I marry this woman? And she, should I marry this man? And I've been a priest for too many years, I've counseled too many people. Cohabitation before marriage is no way of preparing for a stable marital union. Should women be lectors? Well, I've answered the question. United States. Now, there may be some diocese somewhere. If there is, let me know. Which they have. The ministry of lector. The ministry of acolyte. And the church's law says that those who are appointed to the ministry, whether acolyte or lector, must be men, male gender. But once, as we all know, once feminism takes over our culture, and it has engulfed our culture, then what do you do? What do you do? It's the last meeting. I think I spoke in Washington and told the people the most powerful Marxist nation in the world is the United States. And for Marx, that's the great dream of Marxism, of having women in competition with men. Women finally, after all these centuries, being in control and dominating men. And our country is doing a masterful job. I repeat, the most powerful Marxist nation in the world is the United States. I mean every syllable of that sentence. What is the difference between peace and happiness? Oh, first, a definition. First of all, peace is defined as tranquility of order. Tranquility of order. If things are where they should be, then there is peace. Happiness, on the other hand, is the satisfaction of desires. And then we distinguish, of course, between true happiness and pseudo-happiness. True happiness is a satisfaction of the God-given desires. And we desire things which God does not want us to desire. Has that been known? So then, happiness, true happiness, is a satisfaction of God-given desires. When we are satisfied by having a desire that God wants us to have, satisfied. Is watching Mother Angelica 28 hours a week acceptable? I was afraid somebody would ask this. I better watch what I say. No, I would say it is both acceptable and commendable. A priest said Martin Luther believed in the real presence till he died, but not believe in transubstantiation. Please comment. Oh, how we can use words and change their meaning. He did not believe in transubstantiation. He lost his faith in his own priesthood. But being smart, he decided to say, I still believe in the real presence. Well, listen to this. Martin Luther said that, and remember the famous syllogism of Martin Luther? Part one. God is everywhere. Is that true? Number two. Jesus Christ is God. Is that true? Now the conclusion. Therefore, Jesus Christ is everywhere. Is that true? Oh, just a minute, Martin. Just a minute. Jesus Christ is God, is everywhere. While Jesus Christ is the God-man, he is present on earth only in the Eucharist. Can you recommend books that discuss the dangers of working mothers, preschool, and so forth? I assume you think it is dangerous. Well, some mothers have to work. And this is part, by the way, this is all planned, carefully planned. That a man's wages will be too low to support a family. In other words, you want a large family, you've got to make a hard decision. So, what I can do is, now working mothers, I repeat, some mothers have to work. They have no choice. However, working mothers do work. They also get another car. Or they can go to the Bahamas. All the different reasons for working. By the next time, I'll find something to share with you in writing. A priest said, the Catholic Church acknowledges that all of Martin Luther's complaints against the Catholic Church are valid. Please comment. What were Luther's complaints? Well, his single biggest complaint was that the Pope does not have authority in the Church founded by Christ. That's his biggest complaint. And to say that Luther was right in saying that Christ did not establish papal primacy. My gosh. Even many Lutherans know better. A priest said, Martin Luther believed that our own nature, we can do nothing good. Luther believed we could do any good with God's grace Oh, thanks for the question. According to Martin Luther, he taught this already in 1520, but with the church in 1517. According to Martin Luther, we cannot do any good except by the grace of God. In other words, that our nature is totally and utterly corrupt. We have no free will, no free will to do anything good. And as a correlative to that, from Martin Luther, the only freedom we have is to do evil. All the human will can do is sin. That was condemned by Pope Leo X in 1520, 3 years after Luther's break with the Catholic Church. It is 5 o'clock. So shall we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I give a blessing? I like Latin. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sanctus, descendit super vos, et maniat semper.